Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. I'm Marcy Goldblum on behalf of the plaintiff appellant in this case, James Glass. Mr. Glass worked from 1973 to 2001 for 28 years for LTV Steel in a variety of capacities. He finally left in 2001 because of problems relating to his depression and particularly anxiety. There's no question in this case, as even the administrative law judge found, that he met his burden of showing that he was unable to perform his past relevant work. He was sent to see Dr. Long, a psychologist, at the behest of Social Security. Dr. Long reported that in addition to being in the early stages of partial remission from alcohol dependence, that this gentleman also seemed to meet the criteria for a depressive disorder not otherwise specified. And Dr. Long specifically reported that he has trouble with customary work pressures and he's had trouble adjusting to changes in his job description. And that's critical. When we get to the administrative hearing, when the vocational expert who was present during all of the proceedings at the hearing testified about, in reference to this idea of adjustment to changes in work setting, she didn't come forward with any jobs. It was only when the administrative law judge said, okay, you know what, I don't want you to consider adjustments to changes in the work setting, because the administrative law judge erroneously seemed to think that that just had to do with the generality of any individual going from skilled to unskilled work at advanced age. But the problem is, Mr. Glass isn't any individual. Mr. Glass is an individual with a mental impairment who was specifically found to have trouble adjusting to changes in his job description.
Ms. Goldblum, what support is there in the record for the vocational expert to include the self-image factor in determining whether a significant number of jobs existed which Mr. Glass could do?
Well, generally, the vocational experts, like Ms. Gianforti, will say that it's based on her years of experience, her expertise in the area, having placed individuals. But I think that's really not the proper focus in terms of self-image. And I know that was troubling to the judge because it does seem a little bit, touchy-feely, and Judge Dadaba wanted to get away from that.
Yeah, because in my experience, it's unusual for a vocational expert to raise such a concern.
The thing is, in this particular case, we have in the record Dr. Long saying that this is an individual who has had problems adjusting to changes in his job description. Now, I think that granted, the vocational expert could have done a much better job explaining herself, but that's not what we look at here. What we look at here is, did at step five, where the burden is with the administrative law judge to show a substantial evidence of other jobs that this specific individual can do and sustain, did he meet that burden?
Well, see, if the vocational expert's concern with Mr. Glass's self-image was a reflection of the psychological problems that he was experiencing, the anxiety, the depression, the difficulty adjusting to change, then it would be a proper consideration for the vocational expert, and that's what I'm trying to figure out.
See, I think the problem is that Ms. Gianforti didn't necessarily express herself as well as we would have liked, but that doesn't change the fact that the administrative law judge had to consider that factor in his hypothetical question to the vocational expert, and he didn't do that. You know, in the Young case, which actually, Judge Rovner, I know that you wrote, it was clear that in that case, the administrative law judge had come kind of halfway. He had included part of the problems. Just as in this case, the administrative law judge included in his hypothetical question things to address this individual's problems with stress and pressures in the workplace. He says that the judge in his RFC finding says that the claimant retains the capacity to perform the exertional and non-exertional requirements of medium work, subject to moderate restrictions necessitating a flexible pace that would accommodate the need to avoid crowds and line-driven performance expectations, and subject to an average ability to attend to simple work instructions. Now, there's nothing in that that addresses Dr. Long's concern that there's trouble adjusting to changes in his job description. And the administrative law judge never backs away. He never says he's not accepting that. Now, in their argument, defendant says, well, actually, you know, the judge didn't have to put anything in his hypothetical question to address that, because really, Dr. Long was just saying that he had had this problem in the past, but there's no indication that he would have that problem in the future. Number one, I think that's a rather specious reading of Dr. Long's report, but more importantly, Judge Dodabo never said that that's how he was reading that report.
You know, there's one fact that I want to get absolutely straight, and that is this. The vocational expert never testified that there were significant numbers of jobs available to Glass. Did she?
No, she did not when she was considering the whole picture. She says that there's going to be moderate to significant adjustment to other jobs. And then the administrative law judge says, okay, but if you don't consider that adjustment factor, can you name some jobs? And she does. But she never names jobs when the adjustment to changes in the job description is factored in. And that was legal error, and that alone is why this case must be remanded. And I certainly will agree that Ms. Gianforti's testimony could have been more clear, should have been more clear, but at step five, it's the commissioner's burden to make sure there's substantial evidence to support the finding that there are other jobs, and that just was not done in this case. And if there's no other questions, I'll reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Ms.
Good morning. May it please the court, Gary Seltz on behalf of Michael Astrew, the Commissioner of Social Security. Mr. Glass, as I think the court understands, is relying upon two pieces of evidence here. He's relying upon really one sentence in Dr. Long's report, and he's relying on a portion of the vocational expert's testimony.
Oh, no. Forgive me, but when the vocational expert concluded that Glass would have moderate to significant difficulty adjusting from skilled to unskilled labor, it seems to me that would be consistent with a report from Dr. Manat, which diagnosed anxiety and depression. The report from Dr. Jayakandran, the psychiatrist, diagnosing him with major depressive disorder, and the report of Dr. Long, a clinical psychologist, who stated that he had a depressive disorder and had trouble adjusting to changes on the job. By my count, that's four, not two.
Well, Your Honor, with all respect, I don't think that the vocational expert was relying on any of that medical evidence. I think it's clear when you read through the vocational expert's testimony, she was not talking about something specifically involving Mr. Glass. She was talking about what she perceived to be an adjustment problem that would be faced by a whole class of people of Mr. Glass's age who had performed skilled work before and couldn't perform skilled work anymore. And that was what she was talking about. The place in her testimony where I think she most clearly described the phenomenon that she was talking about was where she gave this illustration relating to a newspaper reporter who couldn't do that job anymore and then had to try or was going to try to go back to work as a janitor for the same employer. Now, obviously, that's not about Mr. Glass. He wasn't a newspaper reporter, and you know, no one was suggesting he go back to work as a janitor. That was, I think, a clear indication that the vocational expert was not talking specifically about Mr. Glass.
Well, when the ALJ asked the vocational expert to put aside the question of low self-image resulting from the transition in work, wasn't the ALJ essentially asking the vocational expert to ignore the evidence of his psychological impairments?
No. I think that the ALJ made clear that one of I think the primary concern he had with what the vocational expert said was that it was unsubstantiated. Now of course, Mr. Glass is arguing that it is substantiated by Dr. Long's report. But I think, I mean,
and Dr. Manette and Dr. Jayakendran.
Well, I mean, they're not relying on those reports at all, Your Honor. And you know, they're relying exclusively on Dr. Long's report, and I think that the ALJ addressed at length Dr. Jayakendran's opinion, gave a number of reasons for not crediting it, and those the district court accepted that, and Mr. Glass has opted not to raise those arguments again on appeal. And Dr. Manette was I believe, his family doctor who saw him twice and gave very, very brief reports, which contained only a brief mention of anxiety and depression.
Well, he diagnosed him with decreased libido, anxiety, and depression.
He did, but didn't suggest any particular mental limitations. And again,
well,
that's not...
Is that his job, the family doctor?
Well, I don't know that it's his job, but I think that, you know, because he didn't do it, I don't think his reports provide evidence that would support such limitations.
Well, only the fact that, two other mental health experts agree with him, I suppose.
Well, let me focus on Dr. Long, because I really haven't gotten to Dr. Long. I mean, I think it's very important to look at exactly what Dr. Long said. Dr. Long said, I mean, the critical sentence in his report that Mr. Glass is relying upon is where he said Mr. Glass has had trouble adjusting to changes in his job description. Now, I don't think, counsel has suggested that we've offered an inappropriate interpretation of that sentence. I don't think there's a matter of interpreting the sentence. The plain meaning of the sentence is that he has had trouble adjusting to changes in his work description. And we know what that means. The record makes very clear what Dr. Long was talking about, that Mr. Glass had a very serious problem when he was moved into his most recent job with the LTV steel mill. He was placed in a job that was much different from anything he had ever done before, and where he was working on a computer, working inside, sitting down all day. He couldn't do it. After a couple of months, he was unable to do it, and he hasn't worked since. And that's clear that's what Dr. Long was referring to. Dr. Long, in his report, had specifically noted that. And that's discussed throughout the record as well. Dr. Long just did not say that Mr. Glass would have trouble adjusting to changes in his job description. And I think that the ALJ appropriately included a number of mental limitations in his finding concerning Mr. Glass's functional capacities. He found Mr. Glass was limited to simple work, that he should avoid crowds, that he needed to work at a flexible pace.
But you see, here's my problem. you're doing a wonderful job for your client, but the ALJ instructs the vocational expert to put aside the low self-image issue, and only then, you know, do we have the vocational expert finding that he'd have moderate, you know, moderate to significant difficulty adjusting. And what the ALJ did, it seems to me, is the equivalent of stating that without all of his problems, there are many, you know, he could do things. But that's not the relevant question. I mean,
well, Your Honor,
you have to take him with, you know, all of the hard...
Judge Rovner, if the ALJ felt that the medical evidence showed a mental impairment that would limit Mr. Long's ability to adjust to other jobs, the ALJ would absolutely have to consider that. The ALJ here did not find that there was a specific limitation on adjusting to other jobs. The ALJ found a variety of limitations, but what Mr. Glass is saying, on top of all of those limitations, he should have told the vocational expert that this guy was going to have trouble adjusting to any other jobs. And the record doesn't show that. The only thing they point to in the record is this statement by Dr. Long, which doesn't really say what they've suggested that it says.
See, where I, at right at this second, but I could change my mind, of course, think is that the ALJ should not have instructed the vocational expert to put aside the low self-image issue.
Well, Judge Rovner, I think that the ALJ correctly felt that the vocational expert was offering an opinion, again, not about Mr. Glass, but about a very general issue that relates to a lot of people. As we argued in our brief, we really think that opinion is in tension with the principles that are in the regulations, and the ALJ, I think, was acted properly in asking her to put aside that opinion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Ms. Colbloom, how much time? You have 2.5 minutes, Ms. Colbloom.
Just a few comments, Your Honors. To begin with, plaintiff is not completely relying on Dr. Long's statement. We tend to focus on that because Dr. Long's statement is one that was accepted by the administrative law judge. Dr. Jayachandran reported on page 139 of the record that this gentleman had continual symptoms that may include deterioration of adaptive behaviors, which certainly impacts adjusting to other jobs. But I think one of the difficulties and one of the errors that the administrative law judge made is he was confusing the fact that he says at page 9 of the record, this is the administrative law judge's opinion, unskilled work does not involve the transference of skills to the processes, tools, and industry of other work. And he infers from that that these, quote, unsubstantiated issues that the vocational expert touched upon, he didn't have to consider. And the problem with that is the vocational expert actually explained that there would be differences in work settings, work processes, work-related tools, and she notes that that relates to people who are doing checking, inspecting, inventory, material handling, stock working, warehouse work, vehicle equipment cleaner. So that's all there. And when Dr. Long talks about difficulty adjusting to other jobs or other job descriptions, he does indicate that he had that problem, But Dr. Long does not say, and it's a one-time deal, or he seems to be over that, and there's no indication of that. And in fact, this is an individual whose health insurance expired. He therefore was limited, and the likelihood is that additional treatment would show that those things continued and were likely exacerbated. But the point is, the administrative law judge never said, okay, this is limited to the past. It seems clear in his decision that the ALJ recognizes that Dr. Long was saying that this individual had problems adjusting to changes in his job description, but the administrative law judge erred in finding that that was not something that the vocational expert should consider. He erred in telling the vocational expert to not consider it, and therefore the vocational expert did not come forward with any jobs that this specific individual could perform and sustain. Therefore, the administrative law judge didn't sustain his burden. We ask that this court reverse this decision so that a proper procedure can be performed. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wilkin. Thanks to both counsel.